Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world effectively manage risk. For access to free educational tools and resources for the active individual trader, please visit activetrader.cmegroup.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in for this episode with Chairman Giancarlo. Remember, new shows are posted on Mondays and Thursdays. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes and YouTube. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a review on iTunes. Before I play today's interview for you, I want to give a shout out to the great sponsors of Futures Radio Show: CME Group, Trading Technologies, RJO Futures, and Top Step Trader. To learn more about these sponsors and the important things they are doing for futures traders, be sure to click on their logos on our website. Today, I spoke with the chairman of the CFTC, Chris Giancarlo. The chairman and I talked about his recent speech at FIA Boca and what his message was to the futures industry. He explains the CFTC's role in monitoring bad market behavior, the difference between the CFTC and the NFA, how HFTs have impacted futures markets, blockchain in the futures industry, the growth in RegTech, and the chairman shares with us the toughest decision he's had to make so far as chairman. So without further ado, let me take you right to the interview with Chairman Giancarlo. Mr. Chairman, thank you for joining me.
It's great to be with you once again.
It's great to be back with you here at FIA Boca. Now, we're recording here today, and tomorrow morning you'll be speaking to the attendees at FIA Boca. What will be your message to the futures industry?
You know, it's a great opportunity, Boca, to speak to you have the entire industry assembled here. And for chairman of the commission, it's really the opportunity to announce sort of the state of the union, both looking back and looking forward. Yep. As to what we've achieved and then where we're headed. 2 years ago, when I first became chairman, it was announced here at Boca, and I had the opportunity to lay out a vision. And I talked about going in a new direction. And what I said was that our markets, our risk hedging, risk transfer markets, need to be part of the solution to what was then a very sluggish economy, slow growth, terrible job creation. And our markets had to be a place where lenders and other market participants could hedge the risk so they could extend more risk, so they could lend, they could support economic recovery. So our markets needed to play a role in the economic recovery that was coming on the horizon for the new administration. And I think our markets have done that. Our approach to regulation is not deregulation, it's not less regulation, it's about calibrated regulation. How do we do regulation in a way that really supports healthy economic growth and at the same time achieves our purposes in making sure that market activity was well-ordered and was proper and legal?
What is the role of the CFTC monitoring bad behavior in futures markets? Yeah.
So that's a big part. One of our core missions is to take action against market misbehavior, market manipulation, and fraud. We have a very effective, very active enforcement effort exactly for that purpose. And we also work with our self-regulatory organizations, like the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, but also with the National Futures Association, that also work to make sure that our markets are free from fraud, manipulation, and other misconduct.
Explain to everybody the difference between the CFTC and the NFA.
Great question. So the NFA is a self-regulatory organization. It's set up by market participants and industry participants through their contributions, their dues, in order to police activity in the market. It's not, however, a law enforcement agency. It can impose fines, it can determine misconduct, but at the end of the day, if market participants ignore its instructions, then its job is to refer those cases to us at the CFTC, and we bring in our enforcement action, and we have the ability to bring civil charges and take cases to court.
Talk to us about the impact of HFTs in the futures markets.
So, you know, our markets have changed dramatically, just like every other part of our lives. You know, every other part of our life has become digitized. You know, I grew up in the 70s. The cars we drove then were pretty analog. They were pretty mechanical, and they really were not electronic. They were not digitized. They took a long time to accelerate, and they took a long time to slow down. But now, modern automobiles are digital. They're fast, they're efficient, they accelerate quickly, and they slow down quickly. And that same digitization is taking place throughout our markets, throughout our entire lives, but especially in our marketplaces. And I liken high-frequency trading to modern automobiles that are much faster, they're much more efficient, they're much more precise. But under our rules, they have the same right to occupy our highways as the old analog automobiles do. The same rules apply, but they're able to move quick and fast. Now, people have invested to get that quickness and fastness in them, but they have a role to play in their markets. And many would argue that they bring a new degree of liquidity, a new degree of trading capability. Now, for traditional market participants or operate more in a human analog market, it can be very perplexing, this transformation of markets from human to analog, from binary to digital, but it's a transformation we're seeing in markets, and it's a challenge for us as regulators to make sure the principles underlying our regulations still apply in a digital marketplace.
How is the CFTC overlooking the HFT spoofing, all of the market bad behaviors? Is it done through automation? Is it through technology? Is it through people? Is it through people reporting? Is it all of the above?
All of the above. So we use many methods of monitoring our market, some that are very highly automated, but some are simply old-fashioned gumshoeing, and some of them also look to market participants to make us aware of misconduct. So we have whistleblower.gov website where market participants, if they see bad behavior, can go and make us aware of it, and as appropriate, we'll look into that conduct and take action. Your participants, I think, your listeners should know, we have been very, very active in monitoring markets. There's been no pause, no let up in our supervision of markets. Under the last 2 years, we've had more enforcement action, we've had more action of large matters, we've had more diversity of matters, we have had more whistleblower awards. We're very, very active on the enforcement front, and I think that the majority, the overwhelming majority of market participants who behave properly in the markets need to know that we're there making sure our markets are free of fraud and manipulation, and we're on the job.
So what do you attest that to over the last couple of years? Is it because the CFTC has gotten better at it with technology? People have been more vocal about it? Once again, is it all of the above?
It's certainly all the above, but it's also tone at the top. I'm a person who spent, before coming into government, 30 years in the private sector, 15 years in the markets. And I believe that what gives market participants confidence is knowing that the cops are on the beat, that are policing misconduct. So even though I'm a believer in regulation that's reasonable, and I tend to be much more of a free market capitalist, I'm also a believer that to have good and free capitalist markets, you need very strong enforcement. You need reliable enforcement. People need to know that if there's bad actors, they will be caught and they will be prosecuted. And that's what we've tried to deliver, certainty of strong enforcement.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think that since you have been chairman, no question the leadership is the best I've seen in over my 20 years. So I appreciate that, sir. I want to talk about you guys working with RegTech companies, because coming to FIA Boca and all of these other places that we attend in the futures industry, I see more and more the growth of RegTech companies. And when I speak to them, you know, whether it's through my radio show or just speaking to them in private, they have talked about how they're working a lot more with the CFTC, with the exchanges. Did that come from leadership from you as well, or how did this all evolve?
It absolutely did. So I think that when these RegTech companies used to look at us, they would see the equivalent of a big Washington limestone building with very small doors and no door that said, innovators come this way. What we've changed that. So we've created something called Lab CFTC, We've headquartered in, not in Washington, but in lower Manhattan. And we take the show on the road. We've done lab hours in Chicago, in Silicon Valley, in Silicon Hills, Austin, Texas, in the South Bank of London, in Singapore. We go where the innovators are to meet with them, to talk to them about the way we do regulation and to how their innovations fit in with what we're doing. In the 18 months since we launched Lab CFTC, we've done over 250 individual meetings with innovators big and small, from small startups all the way to large financial institutions, to understand their innovation and see how it works, interacts with our regulations, and also where we need to update our regulations and bring them more in line with the new innovations.
You're allowing the private space, the private industry, to be able to work with government.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say enough on how important I think that is. And
the other thing, I'd say one more thing on that. You know, there's something known as Moore's Law, that the speed of innovation doubles every 18 months. Well, it's not just the innovation, it's also the adoption is moving at that same pace. And what we're trying to do at the Commission is adopt what I call an exponential growth mindset. That is, as regulators, we need to think that things are moving that fast. We need to anticipate the pace of change so we ourselves can move at that same pace of change. Adopting an exponential growth mindset is, I think, one of the biggest changes that we've adopted in the last 18 months at the Commission.
Hey, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the show so far, but I want to pause and thank one of our sponsors, Trading Technologies. I started using TT in the year 2000. And I love it. It is by far the best trading platform I have ever used, and I've tried a lot of them. With TT, you can trade the global markets from virtually anywhere in the world. They are the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. I highly suggest you go try out TT, especially because you can try it for free. Just go to tryttnow.com and set up your account. You mentioned how this is basically, Boca is always going to be your anniversary from when you became chairman. In the 2 years that you've been doing this, what was the toughest decision you had to make?
Well, I'll tell you what, talk about innovation. You know, we had the self-certification of Bitcoin futures before us in the fall of 2017. And there were a number of voices in and out of the agency, in the public sphere, in the press, very critical of our willingness to go forward and see the self-certification take place of Bitcoin futures. But I was concerned about something that I don't think other people were witnessing. What we were watching was a huge bubble emerge in Bitcoin futures, a run-up that brought Bitcoin, I said Bitcoin futures, but in Bitcoin cash price, that saw it reach $19,000 in December of 2017 from a few thousand dollars at the start of the year. And that was really the first bubble in post-crisis since the financial crisis. And many people criticized regulators during the crisis for not taking steps to have corrected the bubble in housing prices that led to the financial crisis. Here we were faced with another bubble. And I saw Bitcoin futures as an opportunity for the market to self-correct. For those market participants that thought that a $19,000 Bitcoin price was a wrong signal, to actually interact with that. And so Bitcoin futures launched, and within 90 days, the price of Bitcoin had fallen back below 10,000. Now, it's not for me to decide whether that's the right value, but you had a market valuation taking place. We were allowing markets to do what markets do well, which is to find an equilibrium price. And I think the launch of Bitcoin futures was, through self-certification at the CFTC, was one of the CFTC's moments where it really showed its commitment to allowing markets, and not regulators, markets to determine price and value.
Is that why you're called Crypto Dad?
It definitely came out of that. So the Crypto Dad moniker came for a testimony I gave in front of the Senate Banking Committee in February 2018, right after the launch of Bitcoin futures, where I tore up the script. I went in with a 30-page testimony, but in front of those senators, under the heat of the lamps, I put it aside and said, you know, senators, I've just come away from our family ski trip with my kids, and all they're talking about is cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, And I think we owe it to this new generation to not denigrate their interest in this new asset class, but to treat it with the respect it deserves, and to, if we're going to pass laws, to do it in a way that's sensible and really respects this newfound interest in this newfound in this new asset class, and get our regulations right. And it was after that that the term came up of crypto dad, and my kids love it, by the way. So,
I want to talk about blockchain a little bit. And in a recent post I read, it was saying that you had mentioned that blockchain would have helped the real-time response that regulators had to the 2008 financial crisis.
Yeah. So last week I spoke to the DC Blockchain Forum put on by the Chamber of Digital Commerce, and I talked about an experience I had back in 2008 when I was the senior executive of a Wall Street firm that operated the largest trading platform for credit default swaps in the world. And in the middle of the crisis, a few days before Lehman collapsed, I got a call from a prudential regulator, one of our bank regulators, asking what I was seeing in credit spreads on some of the major banks. And I explained to the regulator what we're seeing, and the call was over in 5 minutes. But it struck me that that regulator had no way of knowing how spreads, meaning the market's sense of the creditworthiness of some of our major banks, without just short of calling regulators to ask, I mean, calling platforms to ask what we're seeing in the spreads. And it struck me that there was no way to piece together all the counterparty credit risk of one bank to the other short of phone calls. And here we are 10 years later. Imagine if the blockchain had been around then, and regulators could have been a node on the blockchain and could have seen all of the corresponding exposures of one bank to another. Back then, what we saw was the gross exposure of Lehman Brothers at $400 billion. We now know today that net, the exposure of Lehman Brothers was about $9 billion. Well, if we knew it was $9 billion, the regulatory response could have been quite different than it was. But it was the fog of war, the fog of a crisis, of not really knowing the net exposure. A blockchain system would allow us to know the net exposures of one bank to another bank in the financial system and take much more precise, calibrated action. So I'm a big believer in blockchain technology. I think it would be a great tool for regulators to have a better ability to respond to market crisis, much more precise, much sooner, much more accurate, and much more targeted, and quite frankly, much more protective of the taxpayers' resources that we regulators use at great risk.
So it's safe to say you think that blockchain is going to continue to grow in our industry?
I think so, for sure. Yeah. I think blockchain is one of the fundamental transformational technologies that we're looking at today.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Now, you and I spoke a couple of years ago, and you said to me that your goal was to decrease regulations that were hurting the marketplace and add smart regulations. Now that you're near retiring, do you feel that you've achieved that?
We've come a long way. We've set off on that direction. You know, after the financial crisis, the Dodd-Frank Act called for regulators to implement a series of improvements to the over-the-counter derivative space. Central clearing, for one. Reporting of transactions to data repositories, two. Three, making sure that trades take place on licensed platforms. Four, making sure there's a reasonable amount of capital held at banks standing behind those exposures. And then five, registering certain large swap dealers with the agency. All of those were implemented by the CFTC, but in a very quick time frame. Some of them have worked very well. Others were now seeing some shortcomings in the way they were implemented. And so what I pledged to do was to take a look at those shortcomings and improve upon them, recalibrate the implementation so it's much more efficient, works better, it's less burdensome on the market, but also serves our regulatory purposes more efficiently. I've put forward a number of proposals, we've adopted a number of reforms, we've made good progress on this, and I'm quite certain that my successor will continue these to move in this way of calibrating our regulations for greater market efficiency.
As you are now close to retirement, when you look back at your time as chairman, what would you want to be remembered for?
That's a great question. I think I'd like to be remembered as someone who did what my parents taught me, and that was when you visit somewhere and spend some time there, try to leave it in a better condition than the way you found it when you arrived there. I've now been at the commission 5 years. It'll be 2.5 years, I think, as chairman before I leave. And I hope people will say that, you know, he made the place a better place. He made our markets a little bit better when he's there. He tried his best and made some improvements and left it a little bit better than the way he found it.
Well, I could tell you this from someone who talks to a lot of people in the industry. Sir, you achieved that. You really did. And I think a lot of us here are really going to be really sad to see you go. And since you are retiring soon, I said this a couple of times, you're such a high energy guy. What will you be doing when you retire?
I don't know what I'll be doing long term, but I tell you, first thing I'm going to do is pick up my guitar and do a lot more guitar playing. So nice. I was in a great band before I came to Washington. We played all up and down the East Coast. The band is still playing. I can't wait to get back with them and start playing some music again. So that'll be stop number one, and then from there we'll see where it goes.
Sounds like a plan, Mr. Chairman. Where can people find you on Twitter? And give everybody the website again to where they could go to learn more about the CFTC, and also if there is something that they do recognize as bad behavior and would like to report that, how they can do that.
So I tweet at Giancarlo CFTC. CFTC's website is cftc.gov. And to report misconduct in the market, go to whistleblower.gov.
Mr. Chairman, it's always an honor to speak with you, sir. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me on Futures Radio Show.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.